This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you about a place that's very near and dear to me, somewhere that I've been going for many years, somewhere I've got an awful lot of fond memories of, and that place is here. This is Warren Farm Nature Reserve. It's an industrial, abandoned-looking wreck of a place, and I love it. It's easily my favourite place in the universe, and obviously there's some sentimental value to why I would say that, but at the same time, I just can't find any place that has the same level of, freeing of the soul combined with just a beautiful sense of community. There's not many people here at the moment because it's the middle of February. But I just really love this place, and I have been coming here for a long time. And I'm basically going to tell you about the story of this place because it's under threat. It's all going to get knocked down, and there's people that want it to get knocked down. And all sorts of various things. And obviously I don't want it to get knocked down because I like it for what it is. And I think that there's so much that you can do here on a creative level, as well as just, a great place to just meet new people and just find, friends and stuff and just have little experiences that can make your life generally a little bit better. So, when I first came here, one of my oldest friends told me about this place and we came here together. And that was in 2013. I was 13 or 14 years old at that point. And to get here, you had to go down a really long industrial estate. And then you had to cross a train track. And then you had to climb through a wire fence. And then you had to cross basically like a marsh swamp full of brambles. And it was really, really hard to get through. But you could see the abandoned buildings, these buildings that are in the background. You could see them in the distance. And so you knew what you were working towards, and you knew that you were, the land that time forgot almost. Like, that's sort of how it feels. And you get here, and you get onto the concrete, right? And you'd start looking around. First, what we would do is we would, quote, clear the area. So basically, we would just go up and down, and we'd treat it like we were in The Last of Us or something, or like in Call of Duty or something. You know, when you kind of got to clear a building, like they do in the army. We kind of did that to make sure that there were no, mentalists or anything knocking about, and there never were. And once we cleared it, we would just climb the buildings. We climb the buildings behind. There's buildings on the other side of the camera. And we just climb those, and we just have, fun. We try and break into the buildings. One of my friends of a friend had, a toolkit, his dad's toolkit, and he brought that down, and we tried to force our way into all the buildings. Because back then, you notice how there's just giant holes in all the buildings now? That wasn't the case back then. You couldn't actually get into any of these buildings, and so we were trying to get our way in. And we just did that for years. And I remember the first time I came here with three friends, right? And the building that's behind you, it's really awkward to climb up. You have to climb a small bit, and then you have to hop onto a bigger bit, and then you have to hop down. And then there's this sort of building that has a roof with, the little edge thing to it. And it had been flooded. And so you had to veer along the edge of the building to get all the way around so you could climb to a ladder, right? And then you would climb the ladder and then you would get onto this water tower and you could just look out over the city. And it was absolutely just euphoric. It was amazing, that experience. It must have been like July or August 2013 or something like that. I remember we were up there and there was this like police do not cross tape, right? A big reel of it, right? And so we tied it to the end of one of the water tower poles, right? And we just threw it out. It was quite a windy day, so we just let it just billow in the wind, and it must have gone out for what looked like, you know, it looked like half a mile. It went just as far as the eye could see. It was so cool. Maybe we shouldn't have done that because it kind of alerted the police to our presence, and we peered over the edge and we saw two coppers coming along, and we're like, oh shit. So we start to climb our way down. I was the last one to climb down the ladder, and that meant we had to go, remember I told you that we had to sort of shimmy our way around this water flooded roof. I was shimmying along and I realized that I was going to get caught. So I thought the only way out of this is to jump. So I jumped off a building that was like that high, which doesn't look that high in a video, but it's high in real life. It really hurt. I landed, you know, on my feet, you know, bend your knees a little bit as you kind of do, and tried to run. And I got caught, and then all the other guys kind of got caught as well. And one guy has like run way, way down, but he actually came back as like, what's the word? Solidarity, essentially. And he came back, and the policeman had a word with us, and they basically just said, "Listen, we used to do the same kind of shit when we were your age, so you know, don't worry about it. But yeah, just don't go on the buildings because there's asbestos on them." And we're like, oh, "Okay, cheers." And you know, we were shitting bricks at that point. And around that time, I went back to school and I started telling everyone that I'd been in a police chase. And by a police chase, I mean I jumped off a building and hobbled for about 20 meters before I got caught. And then when we kind of went straight home after that. We didn't, you know, the mood was kind of ruined by that. So we went home, and as I was going home, I realized that I was really far behind, and it was just getting really hard to walk, and like my ankle just really fucking hurt, and I was limping, and I just said to them, "Look, I'm slowing you down. Go home on your own. I'll make my way back. Don't worry about me. Just keep going, right? And just leave me." And they sort of said, "Oh no, don't worry about it." And I was just like, "Listen, I would actually prefer if you just left. That way I don't feel like I'm dragging you down, right? I can get myself home, it's not a problem." And the process of getting myself home after they sort of left was hobbled very, very, very slowly. I'm talking like this. It was literally like this level. Imagine having to walk, I probably live about 3 miles walk from here. I had to do this for about 2 hours, right? And I was getting every little bus, because when you're a kid, you can get buses for free. So I would get the bus and I would get it one stop, and then I would get off at the next bus stop, and just kept going and going. And I had 35 pence on me, and I really, really needed some water. I needed some water more than anything else in the world, right? And I couldn't get any water. I'd go into a shop after shop, and you know, water bottles were 50p, and I only had 35p. But what they did have for 35p was a Boost energy drink. So I was never a kid that liked energy drinks. I've probably had like less energy drinks in my life than I could count on my fingers. I probably had about 8 or 9, right? And this was one of them, because I had to get a can of Boost because it was the only thing I could afford. I was like, I need some drink just to satiate my thirst. And I don't even care if it's going to make me more thirsty in the long run. Yeah, it did. It didn't really provide me any energy. And you know when you're like really struggling, and so you kind of like talk to yourself to prep yourself? You're like, come on, I can do it. Come on, just another few houses. Come on, I can do it. I can do it. And you just continue like that, right? That's kind of what I was doing, just trying to get my way back home. And I had a limp for about a month after that. Then we kept coming here. We came here once, and you know, every time we come, there would be a different way of getting up the buildings that someone had set up. Even though we never saw anyone here, it was like the ghost of Christmas Future came along and just like provided us with fucking little ways to get up these buildings. Like there was one time that just a ladder was here, so we moved the ladder. It was lying on the floor, pretty much where I'm sat now, and we moved it way down there. It was really one of those massive fucking ladders, you know, the really heavy ones that they use to build proper buildings. So we took that, and as one guy was climbing it, it fell backwards and trapped him underneath. And that looked like it really fucking hurt because it landed on his neck. He wasn't hospitalized or anything. He was fine, like more or less. He probably had the same thing as me, where he had to limp back home, but with a sore neck. Yeah, didn't look like much fun. That again kind of killed the mood, and we went back home, right? And then I kind of didn't come here for a little bit after that, for maybe a year or 2 years. And then I went into college and made a few friends there, and I brought one of my friends down here, and we climbed the building, and I was sort of showing him around, sort of doing the whole Last of Us, like clearing the entire area, making sure there was no one here, and we cleared the area. And yeah, around this point, there's like a car park sort of looking thing down there, and they've been storing bins for the London borough that we're in. They wheeled out some new wheelie bins for all the houses, and they were storing them over there. So I saw them like probably a few months before they actually got shipped out to everyone. And we were up this building, and we were like, you know, having a few drinks and a few smokes and stuff. And then we started hearing loads of voices down below and like dogs barking and stuff. And it sounded pretty grim. So I sort of peered over the edge, and it was like, oh shit, it's the fucking council. And the council were down there. With like fucking like German shepherds and stuff, and they looked really angry. And so I said to him, listen, lie down. So we lay down like this, lie down, right? I'm just staring at the ceiling, right? And my friend sort of like to me, how long have we got to stay here? And I'm like, as long as it takes. And he's like, okay, fair enough. How long is it going to take? I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take. Do you want to go down there and talk to them? He said, no. I was like, right, so just lay down. And I was saying it kind of hush, hush, right? What he does, he sees a really nice cloud in the sky, and he gets his phone up like that to take a fucking picture of it. And as he does that, you hear a, oi, get down here now, right? And I'm like, oh, fuck, fuck's sake. So he gets up, and I'm thinking, maybe I can just stay lying here, and maybe they've only seen one of us. And he points to me, and he reaches his hand out to help me out. And then the guy that's down below, he kind of goes, both of you, now, get down here. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Right, so we get down, and they're basically, like, interrogating us. Like, what the hell are you doing here? This is private property. It's not private property, it's council property. Council property is public property, and I can do what I want here. So that was a bit irritating, how he seemed to act like he knew the law, like, better than a fucking 16-year-old. And so whenever I tried to say anything like that, he was like, don't be getting smart with me. And I was like, you shouldn't be up there. And I'm like, yeah, but it's, okay, I'm sorry, I won't go back up there. Right? Because I know I'm not allowed to be up there. But so that was a bit irritating. And the dog's fucking barking at me the entire time, like proper snarling and stuff. Like if it was going to be let off its leash, it would fucking attack me or something. And I didn't really want that to happen. So he asked for a load of information, and I just sort of had to give it to him. And that was annoying. And then we went back, right? And it didn't stop me from coming. I still kept coming. And around that point, the buildings were just about beginning to open up. And I've been thinking a lot about using this location for filming, because I was in college for media and stuff. And that's why I brought my friends, because we were in the same class together, and I wanted to show him my filming location. I wanted to do a film here in. And he was keen, so he came down, we sat, and he was a really good friend. We had loads of fun conversations that would last for hours, and we just wander around here, just in loops, and just talk shit. And that was great. And then we're at about 2017, 2018 now, and I would come here every now and then, just with whatever friends were knocking about, just to come here, just to... Around that point, there were sofas and stuff all around here. There'd been a load of travellers that lived over there. And when they go from place to place, they just like leave everything behind. So there were loads of grim stuff. I kind of helped the litter picking community help pick some of it up, but they had like giant sofas and shit all over the place. So what were you?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father. Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just to do, I celebrate my birthday a couple times, and it was like going to the pub. But it's like an open pub, and the beers are really cheap. We can smoke inside because we're outside, and you can go in these buildings and have a smoke, and it's quite nice. And it was the middle of summer, so it was a lovely little like sun rays over you and all that sort of thing. I know it looks pretty miserable now, but in the summer it looks really lush. So we did that, and that was some really fun times, just coming here and just like chatting shit with my friends and just like sitting on the sofas all around here, and kind of felt like another world a little bit, a world away from the world, because civilization isn't that far away from here. It might look like we're in the proper middle of nowhere, like we're in, I don't know, like Siberia or something, and like there's nothing for hundreds of miles around, but no, if you go down there, you walk for about 5 minutes, you'll get to civilization again. It's just on the other side of that. And that was a really good little time. That was one of, fond memories. And in 2020, when the pandemic fucking thing started, I realized that everyone was free all of a sudden to sort of get stuff done. And because we can't meet in groups of more than six, what we can do though, if we want to meet in groups of more than six, is we can meet to film stuff. That's allowed. Like in Canada, for instance, they figured out a loophole to keep a hairdresser's open, where they would do the hairdressing as normal, but they would just stick a phone in front of them and just record the haircuts being done. And then they would just put it on the internet. And because they did that, that meant that they were able to keep the place open for like a year until the Canadian government figured out a way of legislating how to put a stop to that. But here in the UK, there's a similar sort of thing, like exemptions for filming. So I came here and I managed to get quite a big crew actually, because everyone was free. Everyone didn't have like, responsibilities to attend to and all that sort of thing. Everyone, all of a sudden, there was no more like, oh, I can't do Thursday, I can't do Saturday, I can't do Monday, oh, I can only do Wednesday, but this person can't do Wednesday and I need both of them. There was none of that. Everyone was just free to do whatever day I said to them. And that was fucking brilliant. So I was able to get a much bigger crew than I would have been able to get otherwise. I managed to get like, like assistant camera and like shit like that. Like proper like sound assistants and like runners and shit. And that was amazing. You find all that stuff through Mandy.com, and I started doing a lot of things through Mandy.com, and bringing on people and doing filming and stuff with them. And that's kind of what led me to the point where I'm at today, was coming here and making that film, which is called I Am Scum. It stars my friend Jake as the main character. It's basically a story about morality, essentially. In the apocalypse, you can't be a nice, giving person because people take advantage of you, that sort of shit. And it's pretty decently, decent looking little film. It's a decent looking little film. I don't know why that was so hard to say. But yeah, and we filmed that in 2020. And then after that point, kind of got back in touch with one of my old primary school friends. And we started coming here because he'd started coming here. Right, and the way I met him was actually really weird. I came here with a burlesque dancer that I was doing videos for. Basically, it's just like, we had an agreement where like neither of us get paid, but we can both use the footage for whatever we want. And I haven't used the footage yet, and it'll probably get used in a music video or something. But we went up to the building that's behind the camera, and she sort of like did a sort of burlesque stuff, and I'd film it, right? And then two of my old primary school friends just climbed up the building and were like, oh, hi, Josh. Hi. And I was like, hello, right? And the burlesque dancer obviously looked a little bit confused. And I was like, these are friends from primary school. This is a coincidence. And then another one of my friends just popped up on a fucking moped just over there. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I'm trying to do a job here. I'm trying to get some filming done. What are you all doing? Go away a little bit, but it's public land, they can do what they want. And it was a fun little weird situation, and I just still find that so mad that happened, because it also, after the burlesque dancer left, me and primary school friends, we got talking, about old times, reminiscing and stuff. And we went off and like went to the pub and had like a really fun like time. And then went back to one of their houses and just stayed up until like 3 a.m, just chatting shit. And that was really nice. That was a really solid memory. What else? There's been so many little things like that. Last year, I filmed a music video for my last album, Decisions in Another Language. I filmed a music video for the song So I Guess This Is It, which I haven't released the music video yet. And I think I'm going to repurpose the music video for someone else because I feel like it didn't quite... I feel like the point of the music video is different from the point of the song a little bit, which was, you know, just basically bad directing on my part. But anyway, we came down here, right, and we were filming all coming around here, and like we're filming them like playing around as a couple, basically, like, you know, flinging each other around, like, ooh, hand holding and all that sort of bullshit, right? There's a drone over there, and I sort of said to them, give me a sec, I'm gonna go have a chat with the drone guy. So I went up to the drone guy, right? And I was like, ah, he was there with the fucking goggles on, but his mate was stood next to him. So I was like, ah, oh, you're all right. Have you got a lighter? And I just like, I had a cigarette. And lighters, right, and smoking is a really useful way of just starting a conversation, right, which will be a topic for another video. But anyway, got into a conversation just over the lighter, and then like that brings you into the conversation. I start asking what they're doing, you know, like in a friendly way, not like, what are you guys doing? So I'm asking, and it turns out they were filming a music video the next day, and it had some like intricate kind of maneuvers to it, and so they were practicing their maneuvers essentially. Like there was one where they had to like go through like a thing like that, but the drone goes through it, and that was something they wanted to practice because after that they needed to do some crazy thing, and they didn't want the camera to like flip out, and they didn't want to have to do it again and again and again, like 20 million takes for it, and leave people waiting. So they came here and did it as like a bit of practice, and I said to them, well, listen, I've got some actors over here, right? How about you do your practice on my actors, right? And then you just send me the footage, and you know, the footage will get used in a music video. He was like, yeah, all right. And so he starts directing my actors. He's like, actors, over there. And then he goes, run! And they start running, and the drone is flying over alongside them, and it was fucking amazing. So that was a really great little experience. And the footage that came out of that is, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so, so gorgeous. And it really helped complete the music video as well. And that's something that I've noticed coming here is that every time I come here, maybe like 20% of the time, so every 1 in 5 times I come here, I meet just really cool people, creatives and stuff. I remember there was some people filming like a drill music video somewhere like down there-ish. Right, so I spoke to them, got the Instagram thing off them, and then we chatted for a little bit, and it didn't lead to anything, but you know, it could have led to something. And for every time that doesn't lead to something, there'll be another time when it does. And the music was quite good. It's not my type of music, but like they did quite well at it. They were good in the genre. Who else have I met? Met someone here that was doing a little singer-songwritery sort of thing with an acoustic guitar. And they were just like singing and doing stuff like that. I can't remember what, I think they were doing it for TikTok or something. Who else have I met? Another thing that you find here is you find like people that are like sort of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old that come here, and they're almost a little bit, I don't know, lost with life, and they love exploring. They really love exploring. They get such a kick out of it. And whenever I meet them, they very excitedly show me this place like I don't already know it. But I like seeing them really excited and giddy and showing me like, oh, you can go up this and you can do this. And I'm like, wow, I wish I still had the energy to get up that thing that you just climbed with ease. You get an awful lot of people. I remember I came here about 7 years ago with like an ex-girlfriend or something. And we were sitting on top of one of the buildings, and there was this kid that just came along, and he looked right at us, and he looked a little bit forlorn, like, oh, fuck's sake, they're up there, I wanted to go up that building, like, that was, like, that's his building, like, that's the one that he goes to, you know, think about stuff, and, like, he's clearly got a little routine of it. And I remember the ex-girlfriend sort of leaning over to me and saying, that kid's got a troubled home life. And I was like, how do you know? It's like, you can tell from his eyes. And I was like, shit. And it's like, if they got rid of this place, right, that kid is going to be, you know, pretty miserable as a result of it. He's not going to have a fun time because he's, you know, going to have to be at home more often, or he's going to have to go somewhere else. And this is just a lovely little escape. You know, there's no sense of society anywhere around here. There's no sense that there's anything, you know, all the worries of the real world don't apply here. And that's something that's pretty, you know, beautiful, I would say. You know, I've probably come here, probably about 20 people, and, you know, they've all loved it, and they all, you know, try and come here on their own. They ask me what the place was called again, and I sort of tell them, and they're like, oh, thank you. And as I've been coming here more and more, I've noticed it go from a place where literally no one knows about it, where you had to, like, go through bramble patches and crazy shit to actually get here, right, through an industrial estate. And now a new entrance, or maybe I just found a new entrance, so it's a better entrance down that way. And all the brambles and the marshland kind of got raised over and replaced with just, like, grass that grows. And it got a lot easier to come here. And so now you start seeing more, like, dog walkers and stuff coming through here sometimes. And I like the fact that that's happening, the fact that the community have discovered this place. Because let me give you a brief history lesson on this place. So in the 50s or the 60s, this place opened up as a Warren Farm sports ground. And basically, that's what these buildings are. They're changing rooms and stuff. So, you know, when you're in high school and you do sports day, I don't know what the American equivalent is, but sports day is basically just like, at the end of the year, it's sort of like your exam for PE, but you do it competitively with a few other schools, and that you go to a specific area and you do like the running and the long jump and basically all the Olympic type shit. You basically do your own wee mini Olympics in school. And it's all right, it's fine, it's not that fun. I used to just go, I came last in the 200 meter race, but I was all right at the long jump. Yeah, that's what this place was. It was basically, that's what this middle bit is here. This would be like probably, I don't know, where everyone would convene and you'd have like lines of schools and you'd try and figure out what school is what and all that kind of thing. And yeah, it was that until I think 1997. I've got loads of paperwork at home. I don't know why I didn't bring the fucking paperwork with me. It's like receipts. I could have brought receipts with me, but you're gonna have to take my word for this and just Google it. And do Google it, because it's interesting. After it got shut down in 1997, it didn't become anything for a while. It kind of just sat here, forsaken essentially. And in 2013, Ealing Council, because this is in the London Borough of Ealing, this place, Ealing Council basically said to QPR, Queen's Park Rangers football team, "Ah, we'll give you this bit of land on a 200-year lease." QPR's like, "Oh, sweet, how much?" Ealing Council goes, "Free, mate, on the house." And that was pretty unhappy. I remember when I came here, I was on, me and a few friends, we'd taken some edibles and we came down here. And I was walking ahead of them, and the edibles hadn't hit yet, and the woman who like sorts out all of the Warren Farm sort of stuff and the legal battles to do with QPR, because people came to try and fight for the community to stop QPR from coming to build on this land. She was telling me all about it, and this is when I first discovered that this place was under threat. This place I've been coming to for 5 years was under threat. And I was just sat there thinking, please don't let the edibles kick in now. Please don't let the edibles kick in now. If they kick in now, I'm fucked. And I looked behind, and it looked like my friends, like, they'd kicked in for them. I'm just sitting there like, oh, no. And after we said our goodbye, I said my goodbyes to the woman, right? I started telling them about everything that was going on quite manically, like how awful everything was, that they're going to try and take this place away from us. And what I decided to do from then on was try and raise awareness for the fact that Warren Farm was under attack, essentially, and that it was going to be removed and this was all going to be paved down. So I started looking deep into the plans, and I found all the PDFs that go in depth into the plans. There was stuff about like a toxic fucking landfill, where the fumes from the toxic landfill would have spread over to the residential area that's down there. It would have been a 750 capacity car park, which there isn't really a road near here that can satisfy the, you know, the capacity for that. You know, all the extra cars and traffic that would come in, I don't think they'd be able to handle it. And also the fact that it's a training ground for QPR. You know, you're going to be getting an awful lot of, like, you know, footballers and fucking Lamborghinis and bullshit coming down here. And also to get this place built, because, you know, things take fucking ages to get built, don't they? So this place would have taken like 10 years to get built. And they estimated that there would be a 18-wheel lorry coming every hour, every day, bar Sunday, for 10 years down like one little road that isn't very equipped to handle 18-wheel lorries. So that all seemed like a recipe for disaster. You know, that didn't seem like it was going to go very well. So I didn't like any of that. And I also, even just the fact that it's a place that, you know, means a lot to me, the fact that they were going to do such a terrible thing to it. And so there's a few little communities and like people's groups. Lager can do a lot of the litter picking and stuff and help try and make this place clean. So I've come here and like litter picked with them a few times. There's Save Warren Farm, the campaign. They tend to do Kickstarters and you know, fundraisers and stuff for legal battles, and they keep taking they kept taking QPR to court over various things like, oh, this is a public right of way, or oh, there's an endangered bird here, or whatever, right? And QPR had to keep fighting all this stuff for years and years and years, and QPR fans were sitting there going, where's our fucking training ground? And you know, the people that live here would be like, yeah, but what about the fucking birds though? And you know, that just you know, it was a rock and a hard place, and nothing was ever going to get done. And I think QPR realized that, and when the pandemic hit, QPR pulled out. They were like, I see why you're trying to give it to us for free. This is a fucking joke. So they pulled out. And so it seemed like we'd won. And I celebrated, and I was very, very happy. And I started coming here a lot more. And I was so, so proud of this community for being able to stand up to basically the big corporate man, essentially, you know. And that was pretty, pretty sweet that we were able to do that. And then a couple of years later, we get a new head of Ealing Council. All that time, that was Julian Bell's doing, right? Who'd been in since, I think, 2002 or something like that. He's Labour. And the new guy, Peter Mason, is also Labour. I've spoke to him. He's all right. But, you know, he then allowed this place to get, you know, gifted to Southall FC in much the same way. Now, have you ever heard of Southall FC? I fucking hadn't, right? It's a very small football club, which they advertise like, oh, it's going to be better. We're not going to need the entire place. We're only going to demolish some of it. So they start sniffing their nose around, trying to do what QPR was doing before. And it's like, come on, if we manage to defeat QPR, we can defeat these twats. So the guy that runs Ealing Council, the guy that is the MP for Ealing South, which is where Southall is. So Southall FC is in Southall, and Southall is constitutionally called Ealing South. The MP for Ealing South is a guy called Virendra Sharma, right? And his son and his grandson run Southall FC, right? And I went to a protest the other day, not the other day, like 2 years ago now. After the protest, when we stood outside Ealing Council's building, basically protesting in that, there was like 4,000 of us. And we weren't allowed to climb the steps and do speeches from the steps. They had just had guards there. Despite the fact that no one, like the building was basically closed for public access anyway, why couldn't we have just gone up there and done the speech from up there? Because they don't want people, like the word getting out and that kind of thing. But I'm sure they would have some little excuse like, oh, but you need to fill this document 7 years in advance to make sure this happens. It's like, well, yeah, why have you set it up that way? So that people can't climb the fucking stairs to actually do the hearing from there. It's just ridiculous. So yeah, after that, right, some of the most important people to this campaign, the Save Warren Farm campaign, are brought into like a council meeting, right? And so we go to the cinema and we watch the council meeting on a big screen, right? So there's a few little highlights from this meeting that I remember. I think the main one is at the beginning, and I presume this is just a formality that they always do, is that they say, anyone that has any conflict of interest, please stand up now and exclaim what those conflicts of interest are unto the rest of us. And, you know, guess who's not at that meeting? Virendra Sharma. Now, I think that my family members running the club that want to build over this land is a massive conflict of interest. But if you just don't turn up to the meeting, then you can avert that, apparently. You can just get around that, right? And so that was fun, that was great. Then there's a bit later on where this really like twattish woman, she starts sort of saying, she asks three questions, right? Two of them are like actual questions, and the third one is like, so who is it that you're looking to disenfranchise here? Because well, there's not enough football grounds in the area anyway for all these children to play. So would you rather, are you trying to disenfranchise young people or the disabled or both? That kind of thing, right? And the woman who answers the question, who's trying to defend her own farm, she doesn't answer that question because it's a stupid gotcha type question. It's just, it's meaningless. So the woman who asked the stupid questions, she said, well, you didn't answer my question. Who is it that you're trying to disenfranchise? Is it poor? Is it young people? Or is it the disabled? It's like, shut the fuck up. Honestly. The idea that the right to play football in a place where there's already football fucking fields everywhere, right, is more important than saving various like birds and flowers and shit from going extinct. It's like, look, I understand that football is a massive cultural thing and we're a little bit like enamored with it, but seriously, we're just gonna let fucking skylarks go extinct in the UK just so that we can play a game of fucking five-a-side? Honestly, it really pisses me off that. So skylarks basically are these really cool birds that they float and they hover like that, just in place, right? And they hover basically over their eggs. So wherever they're hovering, if you just think downwards, that's where their eggs are. And so in the summer, you're not actually allowed to walk on the grass because that's where the eggs are incubating and that kind of thing. So yeah, the skylarks are here. They're really neat. I came here about 4 or 5 years ago with the Save Warren Farm people who had brought some bat experts on board. And the bat experts basically walked around with a big iPad with a bat app on it. And they would like they'd hold it up like this and they'd go, oh, there's a bat. And then they would say, oh, wow. And they'd look really excited by this bat. And I'd just see like a little flap in a tree because it was nighttime, obviously, because of the bats. So, you know, it meant nothing to me, but they kept getting excited over rare fucking bats, so that was pretty neat. I saw a tortoise here once under a rock. What else have I seen? Some squirrel or some shit that's apparently like a rare type of squirrel. Look, I don't know. I don't massively care about like the animal side of it. Obviously, I do. I don't want them to go extinct, and I'm glad that there is that element to help, you know, boost the point that this place is valuable, but it doesn't mean much to me personally, although I would rather we didn't make the animals go fucking extinct. So what matters most to me is the community and the opportunity that this place gives for young creatives. It's basically a playground to bring your camera, to bring your, you know, mad idea and just do it here, because, you know, this place is free and you can do whatever you want here, essentially, as long as you don't hurt anybody. That's basically it, right? And going into the future, they want to get rid of this place, and they want to build like 7 football pitches. Which, sure, maybe that won't take over the entire field, but you know, might as well. And also, the whole point of having something like this is just a place where you can get away from it all. And sure, I can understand that maybe the buildings are dangerous, they have asbestos in them. Maybe like that, you know, in the long term, someone is really gonna get fucking hurt on one of these buildings, and I don't want that to happen. Obviously, I don't want that to happen, right? But I feel like there must be some way that we can maybe keep the essence of what this place is, right? Whilst improving the health and safety. Just these empty buildings where you're free to kind of do what you want, right? Maybe, like, I don't know what you would even call this sort of thing, but you know what? My life would be so much worse if it weren't for this pile of rubble. It, you know, it's really quite near and dear to me, and it's one of the most important places of my life. I just cannot stress that enough. Yeah, since I've been coming here, it's just only gotten better and better. And some of my favourite memories are here, and I've said some of those memories today. I've done loads of footage here. I've done a few videos here, some of the Johnny Mozza talky sort of videos. I filmed them here. One of my first ones to go semi-viral is up there. We filmed it up that. To be honest, as the buildings opened up, if you go inside them, there's a lot of cool stuff in there. In the one that's behind the camera, I really should have faced the camera the other way because most of my anecdotes seem to be about that side. Inside there is a indoors gymnasium, but it's all abandoned stuff, so it kind of looks like it's out of Fallout or something, so that's quite fun. There's a safe in there. The safe is open and someone's cracked the bottom of the safe to get into the sub safe or whatever it's called, right, and proper clean the place out. There's loads of copper here, which I'm surprised someone hasn't taken and tried to pawn off. I'm really surprised that's not happened yet. I don't know how it's not happened yet. This stuff's been here for years. There must be a reason, right? People that collect copper and that would do that kind of illegal thing, they've just left it here, and I'm really surprised by that. I'm not advocating for them to do it, by the way. I'm just surprised that they haven't. There's not much else to say. It's just, I wanted to talk about this place for a while, and it's an interesting story of the people versus the man, right? Because QPR got their ass handed to them. And Southall FC, I intend for us as a community to hand their ass back to them as well. There's words I want to use to describe Virendra Sharma and Southall FC that I can't use because this is a public broadcast, essentially, and it's there's legal things and stuff, but I don't like him. I've met him once. He's a miserable little shit. It's just strange that some of the people that are your enemies, the politicians and stuff, you meet them in real life and they're really squivvily, quite mousy people that look like they look like they're depressed. They don't look happy. And I find that kind of strange. I find that kind of a bit bizarre how that happens. And I don't know how to really wrap this up other than I hope that you've got something out of this video. Maybe you can relate to it in the sort of way that maybe you've got a place similar to this, or maybe you've got a place that isn't anything like this, but they're trying to take it away from you so they can build some bullshit over it. And if you have got something like that, then please talk about it in the comments. I'd love to, because I feel like this is surely a more universal experience than just Warren Farm. It's, everyone in every country has something like this. And I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to know that I'm not alone in having this place that means so much to me, despite the fact that everyone around me, it looks like shit. It looks like nothing. And it's not nothing. It is something. It really is something. And that's basically the video. So thank you so much for watching. Hope you have a good rest of the day. And take care, everybody. Bye bye. I had to sit on two bricks this entire time because, it's a wreck. I'm gonna walk off into the background. Go this way. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. Today I've come out to Liverpool Street. You can see the big skyscrapers and stuff in the background. Just because this is the home of the London Stock Exchange, this is kind of the financial capital of one of the big political capitals of the world, right? This is where a lot of the, let's call them elites, come to, trade their bits of money and do business deals and that kind of thing, right? And the reason I thought I would come here and do this little video is just to make the point that, all the evil people that are knocking about that cause so much harm and hardship and suffering, right? When I say they're human, I don't mean that in they're human beings, you need to feel sorry for them sort of way. What I wanted to do was just sort of amplify the fact that they are just sort of like us, right? They might have different brains, they might be psychotic. I mean, there's that study that showed that 90% of multimillionaire CEOs are psychopaths, right? Or whatever the statistic was. There's a lot of mentalists knocking about in these buildings here. That one there, right, just past the horse, that's Lloyd's horse, right? Past that building. I don't know what that building is, but you can bet that there's some dodgy fuckers in there doing some dodgy fucking deals. And even if it's legal, what they're doing, everything that they're doing is completely legal, it might not be completely moral. Like, it was moral, for instance. Sorry, it was legal for Nescafe or whatever it was to cause all them, like, Ghanaian women to not be able to breastfeed properly. Because what they did, they gave a load of milk, like breastfeeding milk, in bottles. You know, you can get that stuff in bottles. And they sent it all out to Ghana as, like, some big charity. Oh, look, we're doing really good things for the poor people, right? So they send all this breastfeeding milk over to Ghana, right? And then as a result, there was some chemical or something in the breastfeeding milk or whatever that just caused the women to not be able to breastfeed or lactate properly. Maybe it was, I can't remember the exact science of it, right? But basically it caused an awful lot of dependence on this for-profit company to deliver an essential good onto the population that if they don't have, then their babies will literally starve to death. Right, and they just do that shit. They just do that because they can, because they have the money to be able to bring this into actuality, to cause this suffering for the sake of financial capital. They can just do that because they want an extension on their fucking house, because they want another Lexus, because they want their wife to have some, like, you know, nice platinum ring rather than just a standard gold one. Right? They can do all of this just because they can. Right? Because the system that we have of general, you know, global trade and all that kind of stuff facilitates it. And we allow companies to get away with horrible, horrible fucking acts because they have the money to be able to buy their way into various forms of power or to buy their way out of trouble, right? When legal prosecution or whatever comes towards them, right? And the way that we kind of try and keep that in check with the current system that we have is via the media. The media is meant to keep these people in check. The media is meant to be the ones releasing the big story going, Nescafe causes a load. It's not Nescafe, is it? It's, you know the fucking thing I mean. It's the media that will come out with the big news story going, oh, Nescafe is, you know, causing all the women to not be able to breastfeed in Ghana, right? But the problem is with the media is that it's been very splintered into various motivations. You know, the Daily Mail has a different motivation from the Daily Wire, right? Which has a different motivation from The Sun, which has a different one from Al Jazeera, right? The way I think about it, right, if I want to get the news, I go to the news source that has the least to do with that thing. So, for instance, on Palestine, I'm not going to look at Al Jazeera. On Ukraine, I'm not going to look at RT News, right? On American stuff, I'm not going to look at Fox. On British stuff, I'm not going to look at the BBC. But Fox doesn't give a shit about the domestic politics of Birmingham. So if they do a news article on Birmingham, I'm more likely to trust it, even though it is Fox, even though it's, you know, a complete fucking tabloid rag, right, that has to call itself entertainment because it can't call itself news under the eyes of the law. And that's the thing that they use to defend themselves from prosecution. Right? They say that they're not news, they're just entertainment, and that's how they can get away with it, right? So that's fair enough, I suppose. But they don't give a shit about the people in Birmingham because the people in Birmingham aren't reading the Fox News. They don't have anything to gain from appealing to those people and to trying to push their propaganda onto those people. Similarly, the Birmingham fucking Gazette isn't going to do the most interesting, like, partisan fucking take on the American election cycle because they don't care about the American election cycle. So when I look at various things that are going on that can be quite partisan, that people are fighting over and arguing about, I tend to go to the thing that has the least intrinsic, obvious bias towards it, and just in the sense that it's not affiliated with it. That's why for Palestine, I'm not going to go to Al Jazeera, even though it might be a pro-Palestine thing. They have a reason to be a pro-Palestine thing. That's why I wouldn't go to RT News for the Ukraine war, because they have a reason to be putting these stories out there, because they want Russia to win, obviously, because they're a Russian-owned fucking thing. The same way that Al Jazeera wants Palestine to win, because Qatar is sort of buddy-buddy with Palestine. So all of these different media conglomerates, right, all have different motivations. And so I think the fact that they are so splintered means that we can't just, you know, tackle all the big corporate misdeeds that are going on in buildings like that, all the little bits of trading corruption that are knocking about, all the people that get money off of scamming so many people. But it's all right because it's not called scamming because, you know, this one wasn't an investment, or, oh, well, they had it coming or whatever, right? Just because they didn't, just because they're stupid doesn't mean they deserve to lose all their money, right? Is the way I feel about it. Because if you're going out there purposefully trying to rob people of their money for your own gain, and you're manipulating people into doing that, I don't think you can fully blame the person that got scammed or the victim in this. I think you should be blaming the perpetrators. They're up there in the fucking, not in that particular building, but just in the general financial district as a whole. Because, yeah, sure, we need the economy to go around, and this is kind of the heart and center of the economy. But at the same time, it's not the be-all and end-all. This isn't the place where everyday people go. This isn't a normal civilization in this particular area. You need to go far away to the places that aren't causing, that don't hold all the power to be able to get some normalcy from people knocking about. So, yeah, that's kind of my little rant. It's a bit all over the place, I know. But look, I'm not a big fan of the financial sector. I'm not a big fan of, you know, the things that are knocking about, controlling things. And I don't mean that in like a conspiracy, the elites are taking control over the government and the government, blah, 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 and the Illuminati. I'm not talking about that. I just mean because the world is a lot more boring than we like to give it credit for. And I feel like conspiracy theorists want the world to be more entertaining. And so they see the evil that is going about and they try and make an entertaining justification for it. When the reality is, it's just paper pushers just ticking boxes that cause all the fucking people to starve to death in Africa, that cause all the people in this country to go into poverty, that cause fascism to rise in America and all over the fucking Western world, to be honest. It's bog standard boring paper pushers that cause so many of the issues. And I just wanted to make that clear, that the villains here aren't like fucking cackling fucking Disney villains that are like, oh yes, let's kill all those fucking starving Africans. No, they're not like that. They're just boring motherfuckers that are going to go back to their 8-bedroom fucking house with their boring fucking wife, their boring fucking kids, where they're going to have Eggs Benedict for lunch every single fucking day because they can afford to get a 20 fucking pound Eggs Benedict from Liverpool Street in some fucking posh restaurant that's up a big set of stairs, a big glass windows all around it. Fuck off. I'm sick of all that. I'm sick of all the fucking, I don't know how to really put it into significant words, just how much I detest the financial district as a whole. And at the same, and you know, the obvious criticism would be, oh yeah, but you make use of the economy, you buy goods and services, so you're reliant on those people. Yeah, just because I'm reliant on them doesn't mean I have to like them, does it? The same way a kid doesn't have to like their abusive parents, right? Yeah, sure, they're putting a roof over their head and giving them fucking two meals and a fucking glass of water every day. Doesn't make them good people though, does it? So that was my little rant, a little bit of an angry one, I do know. I've got bird shit on my hands, lovely. It's the elites fucking taking all the birds, turn them into robots so that they can shit on my hands. Oh, I managed to clear it off. It was quite wet. Yeah. So, yeah, on that very strange note, thank you very much for watching this unhinged rant about the people that are in charge of the whole thing. If you have any thoughts that are a bit more educated than mine, a bit more informed than mine, please leave them in the comments below about, you know, how I'm probably wrong on all of this and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, just because I'm wrong doesn't mean I have to stop talking about it. So, yeah, I know that wasn't a very logical thing to say, but I don't know. The whole point of this channel is I've got opinions and stuff and I want to get them out there. And if you agree with them, then cool. If you don't agree with them, you don't have to keep watching them. You know, there's loads of knobheads out there giving their little opinions on the little things because they think they're so important. Look, I don't think I'm that important, right? But I would appreciate if I wasn't subjugated, even indirectly, by those knobheads over there. So, yeah, thank you very much for watching this video. Hope you got something out of it. Love you all. You're all brilliant. And, yeah, take care, everybody. Bye-bye.